friends, new and regular listeners. This is Red Ice Radio. My name is Henrik Palmgren, and we are coming to you from Göteborg in Sweden. It's good to have you all with us today. I hope that you're comfortable wherever you are and are ready for some more radio. Our website is redicecreations.com. Go there to hear, see, and read more. Check out our news, check through our free radio archive, and sign up for a membership if you like what we do and want to get access to even more. And today we are going to get a Codex Alimentarius update from Scott Tipps, who is from the National Health Federation. He's a lawyer who has been specializing in food, drug law, and trademark law. He's been with us before, and I urge you to go back into our archive, scroll down to March of 09, download that program to get the full background on Scott, his work, and the National Health Federation. Their website, by the way, is thenhf.com. Go there to read much more about what they do and the codex work that is so important that they're currently into. And he's returned from the latest codex meeting in Germany with some new information for us. And Scott is also doing a tour here in Sweden in just a few days that we want to alert our Swedish and Scandinavian listeners to. He'll be in Stockholm the 19th this month, followed by Örebro the 20th, and then finally Göteborg the 22nd. So this is coming up here in not too long in the future. So for more information about tickets, please take a look at the website backtobeing.se. We will have this linked up on our website as well. There's information available there in English as well on how to order tickets. So with that, hi Scott, and welcome back to Red Ice Radio.
Thank you. It's nice to be back, Henrik. I appreciate it. So it's been a busy week the last week or so. I was also in Helsinki to launch the NHF Finland, and so I was there giving a number of speeches for a number of days, and that's a real dynamic group, and it will be mirrored at the time that you mentioned with the Swedish speeches with the launch of NHF Sweden. So, and before that, it was the Codex meeting. So, where would you like me to start?
Well, why don't we just talk a little bit, I guess, about your upcoming events here in Sweden? And do you know where those will take place yet, or do you have other people arranging this for you?
I do. Thank you. I'll butcher the Swedish language in telling you, but basically, it's November 19th. I think that's a Thursday, or is that a Friday? And whatever the 19th is, I think that's a Thursday.
That's a Thursday.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, it's Thursday. It will be in Stockholm. It will be at a place called Bagarmossens Folkets Hus.
Bagarmossens Folkets Hus. Yes, that's right.
Thank you for correcting me on that.
That's
from
all right.
6:45 in the evening till 9 p.m. And there's an entrance fee of 80 Swedish kroner.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone wants any more information about it, they can contact directly info@vaken.se. And the organizer there will provide more information. That's the first event. That's mm-hmm. in Stockholm on the 19th at 6:45. Then the second event is in Örebro. And on November 20th at the Statsbibliotekets Horsar, from 5:30 p.m. till 8:30 p.m. It's a little bit pricier. It's at 120 Swedish kroner, but still within, you know, budget, hopefully, for any of your listeners who want to go.
Yep.
So that's on November 20th. So then the third event, the third speaking event, will be at Göteborg on November 22nd, that's a Sunday, at the Backa Folkets Hus in the A-Salen from 4:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m., and the entrance fee is the same as the Örebro speech, that is 120 Swedish kroner. And if anyone's interested in more information about these last two speeches and talks, then contact Per Hellman at info@backtobeing.se.
Okay, excellent. Scott, we will have all these the information here that you mentioned for us up on our website as well. So in case people missed any of that, we will link that up and email addresses, the website, and what numbers to call and so forth.
Yeah, if they need it, they can go to www.dnhf.com and click on the events page, and you could do it and just capture that information and put it on your own website.
Excellent. Perfect.
So that would be fine.
All right. So that we're looking forward to having you up here in Sweden, Scott.
Thank
it's going to be great to see
Thank
you up here,
you.
At least in Gothenburg. We'll be trying to attend that event.
Now, you're in Gothenburg, right?
That's right.
Okay. So I'll see you there then, and maybe I'll call you back separately to coordinate with you on that.
That's good.
So that we're looking forward to this thing, the speaking events, because we're going to kick off the NHF Sweden with these series of speeches. And Per and Lisa Hellman are doing a great job of organizing all of this.
Yes.
Despite having full-time jobs on top of it. So, and we're also hoping to have NHF Sweden work hand in glove with NHF Finland. And also the Danish Health Freedom Organization, Mayday, which exists out of Copenhagen.
Mm.
So we're looking forward to all of that.
Good
and,
news. That's excellent.
Yeah.
And so why don't we go into a little bit of information in regards to the latest Codex meeting in Germany, Scott?
Okay. Yeah, I'd be happy to go into that. That was quite an event. It was a week. It was the first week of November, but actually it started a bit earlier on Saturday, October 31st, Halloween Day, with a working group meeting. You know, these Codex committees, and Codex, again, for your listeners who aren't familiar, is the international standard and guideline formulating body that's been put together about 46 years ago to create standards and guidelines for governing international trade. But the real impetus, the real goal eventually, sooner rather than later, is to implement these standards and guidelines nationally on a national level as well. Indeed, countries are already adopting them full scale. The area that we're most interested is in the guidelines that deal with, we're interested in a number of them, but the most interesting to us are nutrition guidelines, the ones governing vitamin supplements, dietary supplements, and the like. And we have been going to this one particular Codex Committee meeting called the CCNFSDU, which stands for Codex Committee on Nutrition and Foods for Special Dietary Uses. We've been attending this meeting since the mid-1990s, and then I've been attending it since June 2000. But they just held their annual meeting in Germany. Germany's the host company country, so it provides the chairman, it provides the staff, it provides the meeting location and the like. And Germany's probably the worst country to be the host country for the nutrition committee because they are so anti-nutrition, it's not even funny. Hmm. And this is what we've been fighting for years now, for a decade plus at the Codex level. So I went to this meeting, I went to the working group, and the working group meeting, interestingly enough, had it's meant to save work for the committee. That is, the working groups, the commission gives birth to the committees, and the committees in turn give birth to working groups, and they all report back up the chain to the original parent. And so the working group was there to formulate the nutrient reference values for vitamin mineral food supplements for food labeling purposes. So kind of a long-winded way of saying when you look at a label for vitamin minerals in the supermarket or the health food store or wherever you go, and you see it has 60 milligrams of vitamin C, and then it says 100% of your nutrient reference value. Well, the well-informed of your listeners will know that's you really need far more than 100%. But the average consumer will look at that and be misled, completely misled, thinking, I'm getting 100%. Isn't this marvelous? I don't have to worry about getting any more vitamin C, because they won't remember the figure 60 milligrams or 80 milligrams or 280 milligrams. That'll be meaningless to them. What will count to them is the 100%, and that will mislead them. If they're getting 50%, they might think I need more. If they're getting 120%, they might think, oh, a little bit too much, but maybe it's okay. So that's why these figures are so important. That's why they're so vital. And the problem is that where do they get these figures from? Well, at this meeting on Saturday, the last day of October, most of the delegates were looking to, I'd say 99% of the delegates were looking to the FAO, the Food and Agriculture Organization, and the World Health Organization, the WHO, for guidance, because these two international bodies that actually created the Codex Alimentarius Commission in the first place and still provide the funding for it, the bulk of the funding, they do what are known as expert consultations. That is, they get a group of experts together to evaluate and pass judgment upon certain science, so-called science. And in this case, they've established the NRVs at are had at 60 milligrams for vitamin C, and other amounts of a lesser, for instance, niacin at 18 milligrams, magnesium at 300 milligrams, and the like, and the list goes on. They even established the value for fluoride, saying it's very beneficial to consume this, which is amazing, since we're trying to eliminate it from as a toxin from our water supply, and since the state of California is on the verge of declaring it a cancer-causing chemical. In any event, so I spoke up at the meeting and sort of launched the, broke the logjam, at least in terms of those who were thinking about it but not expressing their feelings, that FAO and WHO are not God. They put on their pants one leg at a time, just like everyone else, and that we should consider other sources of information than just FAO, WHO. And it was amazing. After I spoke out on that subject, then others started to speak up, including, interestingly enough, even the U.S. delegation and the European Commission delegation, which want to rely on other information than just the FAO, because the way the standards were written is to get our information, our numbers, our hard numbers for these NRVs and other sources, we had to only look at FAO, WHO, and maybe you could think about, maybe if it's super well done, you could consider another source. So this to me was, you know, outrageous, and I said that. And then some others joined in. So it ended up, we had a bit of a victory on Saturday where other information from other sources could be considered as well. It was still worded not quite the way I wanted, but it was close enough. And that's what came out of the committee was because of our efforts to do that. So that was a small but important victory. One reason it's very important, and it may seem boring as a topic, but actually it has enormous downstream effects from this, is because the FAO, it used to be more than 10 years ago, back before 1999, they would select, when they did their expert consultations, they would select a broad base of individuals to consult from, you know, different areas of expertise, different opinions and the like. But starting in about 1999, FAO decided, huh, we know what's best. We know how we want it to come out. So we're going to pick those people that support our view and that will give us the predetermined result that we want. Mm. So that's why their science is so dangerous right now, because it's not science. It's just what they decided they wanted to have the result be, and that's what they're doing. So instead of picking a broad base now, they'll handpick Joe over here, Fred here, Sally there, and then those are their experts because they know Fred, Joe, and Sally, for example, are going to make a determination their way, the FAO's way or the WHO's way. And by the way, the WHO is far worse than FAO at this, and they're very anti-food and anti-agriculture. The FAO, the name, you know, Food and Agriculture Organization, at least they have an orientation towards food and agriculture, but WHO is totally drug-oriented.
Yeah.
And if anyone thinks differently, they're fooling themselves. And actually, I want to reiterate again, a lot of the FAO staff I have the utmost admiration for, because they are so helpful, they are so well-meaning, and they do not have an agenda. It's just some of the other people who have the agenda. And so this is a problem, though, because we're coming up with bad science. That's why it's so important to refer to other scientific bodies. But getting back to the U.S. and the EC, mm-hmm. they want to go to, in the case of the U.S. Government, they want to be able to refer to findings from the Institute of Medicine. The European Community, they want to refer to the EFSA, EFSA findings at various times. So they have different agendas themselves, but still a similar goal, and that is to not just rely on FAO, WHO. So we didn't meet any resistance from the U.S. or EC, but they did put in qualifying language that was not that great, with Canada being the worst, because they wanted the other scientific bodies to say, it was done according to strict principles of science, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I suggested to the committee, the working group, that we put that language in for the FAO, WHO. If it's, good for the goose, then it's good for the gander also.
Yeah.
But that did make it. That's why I say it was somewhat of a victory, but not 100%.
Hmm.
And so anyway, that's important. But the real victory came on Tuesday, November, 3rd. And that was when they brought up the actual NRV values. I mentioned some of them just a few minutes ago. And these are the ones for non-communicable diseases that they're trying to set. And I looked at the document that had been prepared by another working group that I hadn't been able to attend, that was chaired by the government of South Korea, and I saw the figures were hideous. They were 60, it was a proposed draft paper. They wanted to reduce the NRV, the nutrient reference value, for vitamin C from 60 milligrams down to 45 milligrams. They wanted to reduce niacin from 18 milligrams down to 15 milligrams. They wanted to chop the magnesium level from 300, which is already too low anyway, down to 240. All of these are already too low figures. Mm. They wanted to reduce them even further. I was fit to be tied when I saw that. And so I read this during a break, and I went back into the meeting. And during an almost approximately one hour battle, it first started out with Costa Rica. Countries get to speak first, and some other countries supported it. Korea read the report, and everyone thanked Korea for such a wonderful document, et cetera. And, so disgusting.
Yeah.
And then Costa Rica just peeped up and said, well, because they could speak before NHF, I'd already pushed the button to speak, but they recognize countries before the INGOs, like the National Health Federation.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Costa Rica said, well, we think the value for vitamin A is too low I think it had been reduced to 550 micrograms from 800. And so that was all they said. And then a lot of these countries, they just make one statement and then that's it, and they let it go. So even with Costa Rica saying that, it was going to be adopted. You could see it hovering on the edge of being adopted. And then the chairman called on me, and I lambasted them. I said, this document is absurd. I don't know who came up with it, but it's going to make Codex the laughingstock of the world, because I knew that would get to the chairman, because the chairman doesn't like to be made a laughingstock of. And it will be a public relations nightmare for Codex, because these figures are way too low. And then I went through the reasons why they were too low and gave some specific examples in the case of vitamin C. And I said, these all have to be raised. And then no one said anything. And then Australia chimed in. And Australia's position is that harsher standards are good because they provide, quote, and this is an exact quote from the Australian delegate, Janine Lewis, they provide an extra degree of comfort. Yeah, what? For the regulator, an extra degree of comfort. So, it's God. Not enough to just handcuff the person. You want to handcuff them. You want to blindfold them. You want to tie their legs, put them in a closet, and then lock the building as well, just for an extra degree of comfort.
Yeah,
these people, are insane.
Yeah.
They have no concept of real nutrition, and this just highlights it exactly. Meanwhile, the U.S. and the EC were silent throughout this, and which actually, in a way, is a good thing, because if they had spoken out against us, it I probably wouldn't have succeeded, but I did ultimately succeed. It went back and forth. You know, I answered Australia, then another country spoke out. I think it was Malaysia saying how wonderful this is. Then Korea spoke out. Then there was someone from WHO spoke out. And then each time I intervened, I spoke out about 10 times on this subject alone, let alone the other ones.
Yeah.
So I'm going back and forth and answering these people. Then, believe it or not, the delegate from Iraq, he spoke up to support us, just a little peep, and but he did speak up. And then was it? Hey, then the chairman was exasperated. You know, what do we do? What do we do? And normally they ignore INGOs, but I had been so adamant about this, I think it took them all aback. And so the chairman said, well, as a compromise, let's not advance this document this year. We'll hold it back. And then I took the floor again. I said, I support what the chairman said. And then Australia said, no, we don't think that's a good idea. And about three other countries said, we don't think that's a good idea. But then India, the delegate from India, bless his heart, pushed the button, and his timing couldn't have been more impeccable. He said, these are almost his exact words, I support the National Health Federation has said in their position, and we think this document needs to be held back. And that was enough for the chairman. He slammed his gavel down, figuratively speaking. He doesn't really have a gavel. He said, we're holding it back. That's it. And next item. And then some others kind of tried to argue it, but they didn't get anywhere. It was held back. And that was it. It was a huge victory, because if that had gone forward, see, each document goes through an 8-step process, from step one, where everything's up for grabs, to step, you know, 6 or 7, where things are set in stone and you can only change a word or here or there. And so they wanted to advance it to a stage where it would be set not in stone entirely, but pretty much hard clay. And so it was really important to stop it this time. And when we get to the meeting next year, which will be in Chile, it'll be especially hard fought, because we'll be working with the Indian delegation, the Chinese delegation, some others, because even the Chinese, they didn't speak out.
Yeah.
But I read one of their documents, and they thought vitamin C, for example, should be set at 100, not 45. 100 is still low, but at least it's a step, you know, it's motion in the right direction.
Right.
So we'll be prepared for them next year, a year from now when we meet, and we're going to take this very seriously. So it was a huge victory, and it was just amazing. I was in shock when it was over with, because I didn't think we would win, and we did.
That's excellent. Great news, Scott. And how does it work in terms of, are you allowed to, for instance, talk with the Indian delegates afterwards or during this year and hand them information about this and try to convince them, so to speak?
We are. And in fact, I did, both during breaks and all that. That's one of the nice things about NHF being an accredited codex organization, you know, because we have the right not only to speak out at the meeting, which makes a world of difference, we have the right to submit documents, which we had already done, written documents, obviously, and then we have the right to interact in real time with the delegate. I could have actually gotten up, gone down to his desk, and been speaking to him during the event had I wanted to.
Okay.
But I didn't need to, I didn't even know he felt the way he did till the last minute when he pushed the button and chimed in. But boy, it was like the cavalry coming to the rescue.
Yeah.
Except this time the cavalry were the Indians. So,
well, that's good. Whatever you know, country goes along with that idea. I mean, what about if we back up a little bit here, Scott, and just talk about the main agenda here, and again reiterate what is going on here. I mean, this particular meeting was about lowering basically the nutritional value in regards to vitamins and other supplements, and everyone here is saying how great it is to lower the standards. Why is that, do you think? Why are people agreeing to this?
Well, one, I think it's for two reasons. One is just pure ignorance, you know, the sort of anti-vitamin bias that so many professionals have, healthcare professionals especially, bureaucrats especially, have towards vitamins. They see them as, they don't really know anything about them. They don't know what they can do, vitamin, minerals, food supplements. But they have sort of this suspicion that they do something wrong. And also they listen to the mainstream propaganda that's churned out by the pharmaceutical companies. So these are the kind of people that read the regular newspaper, listen to the regular radio, watch regular TV programs, and there's actually a propaganda machine that has been put in motion for many years, decades even, against natural therapy to suppress their competition. And so these bureaucrats are inundated with this information. Vitamin E doesn't help. Expensive urine from taking vitamins is all you can expect. Vitamin E actually hurts. Multivitamins actually reduce your lifespan. All this, garbage that they churn out, does take root in some shape, form, or fashion in these bureaucrats. And so they're going to these meetings thinking, oh, these are all harmful. Yeah, maybe 60 milligrams, which, 60 milligrams, one cigarette destroys 60 milligrams in the human body. So you're already starting out at zero if you're a smoker and you go by the 100% NRV, let alone if you smoke more than one cigarette, let alone if you're exposed to exhaust fumes from traffic or you eat gluten or you don't eat enough fruits and vegetables to get any vitamin C. Yeah. They don't take this into account. And their mentality is safety, safety first, safety first. Well, they don't realize they're actually killing people by putting an emphasis on applying this toxicological model to what are really very safe, natural products, things that we evolved with. And we even lost the genetic ability to manufacture vitamin C. If we'd retained that genetic ability, most humans would be manufacturing 10 grams a day. I mean, we'd be well beyond the milligram range. And that's been shown very, very definitely.
Scott, can is it dangerous to get too much vitamin? What do the body do if we take too much vitamin? Isn't it just that the body passes that through the system and nothing happens?
And in fact, it's important to remember there are two kinds of vitamins. There's the fat-soluble and the water-soluble. So talking about the water-soluble, the body just passes them out. But they've even found an advantage to taking too much vitamin C because there's a reduced risk of bladder cancer because the vitamin C is sitting in your urine and your bladder, and then it gets passed out, and it's providing protective effect even there. Hmm. So even if you are taking too much, it's already providing protective effect there. But actually, it's very tough to take too much vitamin C. Even I don't take enough vitamin C, and I take 2 or 3 grams a day. Hmm. So, because vitamin C only has a half-life in your body of 2 hours.
Oh, wow.
And you don't want to take time-release vitamin C because then you have an acidic pill sitting in your intestinal tract in a very alkaline environment burning a hole in your intestine. So
you
have to take it regularly and, once every 2 hours, but you don't really have to be so diligent. If someone just takes it once in the morning, once at lunch and once in the evening, that's probably fine. The fact of the matter is that, getting to your original question, is that it's very tough for the typical person to get too many vitamins. I mean, you'd have to be a real vitamin fanatic. And then you go to the fat-soluble, and I'm leaving aside minerals for the moment.
Right.
But you go to fat-soluble, and you have short-term fat-soluble, and then you have long-term. The short-term is vitamin E, which is only stored about 3 to 5 days maximum. And then you have vitamin A and D, which are longer-term stored. But if you're getting the natural form, it's really not a risk. Most people should be taking at least 2,000 international units of vitamin D, natural vitamin D a day. Now, if you're taking a synthetic D or a synthetic A, I'd be a lot more careful because the tolerance limits are a bit tighter. They aren't as tight as the government would tell you, but they're still tighter. With natural, there's no risk. I had got sick with the flu earlier this year. I think I may have mentioned this last program, I took 50,000 units in the morning. By the early afternoon, I was well. 50,000 units. Now, admittedly, I had already been taking 2,000 or so units a day before that, so I already had a basic blood level established, so it might not work for someone who, is taking no vitamin D. But especially in Sweden, especially in Finland, where I just was, where you're not getting enough sunlight, you only manufacture vitamin D really, truly, if you're virtually stripped down in the sun during July, and maybe a week or two either side of the month of July, and that's it. In Sweden and Norway and Finland and Denmark, because other times of the year, the rays are coming in at 2, the sunlight's is coming in at too grazing an angle to the atmosphere, so it's having to punch through more of the atmosphere, and as it goes, more of the rays that create the vitamin D are stripped away by the atmosphere.
Yeah.
So what actually hits your skin is not very formative or very good for forming vitamin D.
Right.
So it's, and you can get it through fish, but you won't get enough. So you really need to supplement with it, especially in the Scandinavian countries.
Scott, just enlighten us a little bit in regards to natural versus the other kind of supplements here or vitamins. Where is this clearly marked on most vitamins, or what do we need to look for so we know that we get the right kind?
Yes, it is marked. For vitamin D, it will either say, it'll say one of three things. It'll say natural, or it'll say a combination of them. Natural, it'll say vitamin D3, or it will say cholecalciferol. And depending upon the language, either C-H-O-L is the start, or the starting letters, or K-O-L, it'll say cholecalciferol.
Mm.
Now, the synthetic form of vitamin D is vitamin D2, ergocalciferol. It won't ever say synthetic. It'll just say ergocalciferol or vitamin D2, and that's what they usually put in milk to fortify it. But that's a very poor form, and usually the fortification isn't a danger for vitamin D, at least, because it's so low potency anyway. You'll never reach the maximum with milk unless you're a milkaholic. So, and even then, I doubt it.
Yeah.
But in any event, you know, it would be good. And it's so cheap, too. You know, the vitamin D that I buy in the States and bring back to Europe, I take 5,000 a day. It costs me about the equivalent of €2 a month.
That's nothing. Yeah.
It's nothing. I looked at the prices in Helsinki, though, and maybe the prices are better in Sweden. I looked at the prices in Helsinki just a few days ago, and it would cost 11 times more in Helsinki to take the same amount of vitamin D, because that's the cost of protection, 11 times more. So to get that amount, and it's amazing. And that is your government, our government, working for us to protect us from low prices. And the funny thing is, the quality in the U.S. with the lower prices, actually, I think, better. It comes from really reputable companies with really good quality manufacturing techniques.
Yeah.
And Biotech, Nalbrand, and Carlson.
Scott, overall, if we talk about some of the other vitamins, let's see, or some of the minerals as well, do you think that they will be labeled with the natural as well when it comes to those vitamin sources?
Well, no, they won't be. The minerals in particular will, most cases, won't be labeled natural. You just have to know from the form. Most, like magnesium, is magnesium carbonate or magnesium oxide, which is very poorly absorbed, very poor absorption rate. You want to try to get magnesium citrate, which is a more biologically active form, and or magnesium glycinate or magnesium orotate, which is actually illegal in Europe because of the EU Food Supplements Directive, and magnesium malate is a good form. Men especially, well, men and women should take magnesium because it's not often that, that, you know, frequent in your diet unless you eat maybe red meats and stuff like that, or meat tissue, you know, meat. But for vegetarians especially, it'd be important. Selenium's another one that's deficient in most European diets. But if you eat a Brazil nut today, you'll probably get, you'll get about 200 micrograms, which is pretty much what you need.
Really? Brazil nut,
A Brazil nut is very rich, probably the richest natural source of selenium. And selenium is important because it helps protect you from viruses like the flu.
Yeah.
It helps protect you from catching AIDS, at least the HIV virus. It helps protect you from cancer. It has very strong anti-cancer properties. So you want to definitely include selenium in your diet. And they found, there was a study that was done with men who were on 200 micrograms of selenium a day in those men who were not. They found the AIDS infection rate for men on selenium was one half out of the control group, the ones who weren't taking it. Just to give a little bit of extra information there and reason to take it.
Excellent.
And magnesium, you know, these runners who run, they're like 50 years old, but otherwise in good shape, or maybe they're even 40, and they don't have any history of heart disease, and they're jogging, and then they suddenly stop and drop dead. Well, a lot of times that's due to magnesium deficiency. They've sweated out the magnesium in their system.
Mm-hmm.
Magnesium is important for the electrical impulses that fire your heart muscles. And if you're deficient in magnesium, then you have problems. Besides, magnesium is the traffic cop that tells calcium where to go in your body.
That's
right. You want to go in your bones, not your and teeth, not your soft tissue, where it can cause blockages in the arteries. So there's all sorts of reasons to take supplements, and one can eat a good healthy diet. But, you know, today with the onslaught of toxins and with the vitamin mineral content of foods being reduced by about 50%, that's been proven by Canadian and American studies. Unless you're eating organically, if you eat organically, the nutrient levels of the food have held pretty steadily. But our grandparents eating the same food out of a supermarket or off out of a farm, they got 50% more nutrition than we did.
See, that's a very important point. Very important point.
And the third factor is we lead more stressful lives than our grandparents did for the most part.
Right.
You know, we're
right.
running here and there, answering the cell phone, jumping on the bus or the train in time, or getting in the car to be somewhere and taking another call and meetings after meetings and travel. So,
we burn
you know,
more.
There's a third reason. Yeah, there's a third reason. And we burn more. We need more. So that's the other reason to actually supplement your diet.
Yeah. So Scott, I wanted to ask you a little bit about the pharmaceutical companies and how do you think they benefit from this situation that seems to be developing when it comes to the Codex Alimentarius? Because if they take out vitamins and so forth in our diets and the recommended intake per day and such are lowered, is it simply that they want to sell us their pharmaceutical options to the vitamins, or is it that the pharmaceutical companies themselves want to go into the vitamin business and take over that and sell us the vitamins but more expensively? Or what are we looking at here?
Well, we're kind of looking at a combination of both. They see how lucrative the you know alternative health market is, and they want a piece of it. And they've already been doing that. They've been buying up vitamin companies in the U.S., the bigger ones. So that the trade organization for the health food industry is actually a bit infiltrated by the pharmaceutical industry these days. The Council for Responsible Nutrition has, Coca-Cola on the board, not that they're a pharmaceutical company, but just big business in general, plus the pharmaceutical companies like, I think it was Pfizer that bought Capsugel, and Capsugel is a member of Council on Responsible Nutrition, which acts on behalf of all these vitamin mineral manufacturers, supplement manufacturers, and the like. So the gist of it is they're trying to get a piece of the pie, but at the same time, they don't want to lose their bigger profit margins that they get from selling drugs, because those are the ones with patents, and not everyone can go in and start a company selling that patented item. So, in fact, no one can except for them, because that's the whole basis for the patent. And so they're trying to get it both ways, but basically what they do is they do the time-honored tradition of running to the government when they're getting beat in the marketplace, and they are. People are waking up and realizing the drugs aren't good for you. You don't suffer from a drug deficiency. You suffer from a nutrient deficiency, whether it's depression, whether it's a disease, or whether it's, you know, like swine flu or virus or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
You can protect yourself naturally far more effectively, far more cheaply, and with fewer side effects than using a drug. But they want to believe that you need to be vaccinated, that you need a drug, and that's the only cure for it. But they run to the government to get laws passed to restrict natural alternative treatments. And that's what they've been doing for a long time now. And if they can't get the natural law passing outlawing something, then they do the next best thing. What would that be? That would be to heap all sorts of burdens and obstacles on the other guy, the competition, so that it makes it more expensive for them to do business. And that's what they've been doing in the U.S. and elsewhere for years. That's actually a bit about what Codex is all about from the pharmaceutical viewpoint. If they get more regulations heaped on them, if they, in the name of safety, consumer safety for items that are already exceedingly safe, if they heap more regulations, more rules and bureaucratic stranglehold, then that will also be almost as nice as outlawing it entirely. They'll make the products more expensive. Look at the difference in vitamin D in Helsinki versus in San Francisco. And there should be no difference, actually, at all, but there is. And so they'll accomplish the same thing, all in the name of safety, but in effect, it's really very evil, and it's killing off a lot of people. And I could give you one example with their propaganda, how they do it, if you want.
Yeah,
with
sure.
Vitamin E.
Absolutely.
Well, this is a prime example of what they do. They have, various people who churn out press releases, and they fund studies. And one of the studies they did, which is an actual example, is they studied the effect of vitamin E on the health of women. And it was a fairly large group. And what they did is, when they published the results, they came up with one very good result. But when they published the results, they emphasized all the things that vitamin E didn't do. Like in the headlines, vitamin E has no effect on cancer was the headline. And then in the storyline, it goes, vitamin E, it was shown by researchers, vitamin E had no effect on colon cancer in women. Vitamin E did not reduce the risk of breast cancer in women. Vitamin E did not reduce the risk of, this other cancer, and on, 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 on. Then buried at the very bottom, it said, vitamin E did have a slight effect, reducing by 24% the risk of cardiovascular disease in women. 24%, that's a blockbuster drug. If it had been a drug doing that, they would have been trumpeting that to the world, saying it reduced the risk of a woman having heart attack by 24%.
It was a quarter.
That's incredible. That's a quarter. That's one out of four. And get this, that's across all age groups of women. If you take the group that more likely will have a heart attack, because women during their menstruating years, their fertile years, they won't tend to have heart attacks at all. Men might, but not women. But you take the age group after menopause, 50 to 65, and that's where you find the women catching up with men in terms of heart attack rates. Mm. And in that age range, 50 to 65, taking vitamin E reduced your risk of heart attack or cardiovascular disease by 50%. And these assholes didn't even want to tell the world that. How many women, thousands of women, were scared away from taking vitamin E because of this, because of their emphasizing the wrong thing and misleading people and steering them the wrong way, when in fact it was extremely helpful for women and men as well. But that's what kind of people we're up against. They don't care about how many people they kill. They just care about making their money and keeping their market share and all of that. And it doesn't mean we need more government to step in to help us, because the problem is these guys are in bed together.
Exactly.
The thing we need is to get government out of the economy and get them out of bed with these guys. That's where we need to do it, because you and I and the ordinary person, we'll never have the time and energy to oversee these government agencies like these drug companies do and the big business does. They've got to be eliminated. Their power has got to be taken away so that they can't control it that way. If we had the right to just walk into a supermarket and buy what we wanted, that's what we want. We want free choice.
Exactly.
We don't want people telling us that we can't take this other thing, and that is where only drugs or the like. So that's where the National Health Federation is the most active, is trying to give the consumer freedom of choice. And we're just a consumer organization anyway. We don't represent any of these vitamin companies. They have the CRN and these other outfits to do that.
Yeah, right, right. Well, I mean, it's incredibly important work, and I'm so glad that we managed to, with the aid of you and your work, Scott, get this victory and the fact that it's at least been postponed for 1 year now, so you know, yes. You guys can begin to focus on that and how to battle it next time. But in regards to, is there more meetings happening this year at the beginning of the next one, or what are we looking at?
No, there are no more Codex meetings this year. There won't be any till next year. And so this is it for now. And it's just more getting the data together and groups together too. And I would encourage any of the listeners here who have information that would relate to NRVs that could help us to contact us at nhf.com. The NHF.com, excuse me, and to say, yes, I do have information. I'd be happy to help you because we've got to put the paperwork together, and we have some scientific advisors, but we need other support. So all help would be appreciated. And so please, any of you listening out there, feel free to contact me directly directly through the NHF and and I'd be more than happy to hear from you.
Excellent. And again, obviously, we will have the links up to your guys' website from ours, so people can click through from our website easily. But when I was just thinking about how people can help and support you guys as well. Do you have any more material out there, or can people donate to you guys as well?
Oh, absolutely. And that's what really made it possible were our members who donated or joined the organization that really made it possible for me to be there. So if they go to the website and click on the Join Us button, I think that's what it's called, the Join Us button, and it's really easy to join. We're very protective of our membership list. We don't trade or give it out in any way. Join the NHF, I think it says. And it's very inexpensive to join, and yet it really supports us. You can also just donate. There's also other information that's available for sale or for free off the website. And if people want, they click on the Codex button on our website, thenhf.com, and they can find all sorts of information there on Codex, including our most recent press releases about this meeting. But you heard it straight from the horse's mouth here, but you can also read about it as well on our website. And a few other websites have posted it too. So it's, it's a developing situation, but it's one that's important, and it is true, and I'm glad you mentioned it, that we really need the support of your listeners, because without them, without our members, we can't do this, and that last victory wouldn't have been possible at all.
Absolutely, yeah, so help Scott and the NHF out. Head on over to the website, check it out, and donate if you can, and help Scott out with this important work. And there's one thing I'd just like to ask you here at the end about Scott as well, before we have to leave you for this time, but that is basically if you have some information about the swine flu. So many people are worried about that now, and still I can't believe that people are going and taking the vaccinations, but some still are, you know. Natural cure for this. I've heard vitamin D. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes. Well, you're absolutely right. I think it's largely a hoax. More people have died from the ordinary flu than swine flu. It's not to say that there might not be a plan out there to introduce something more egregious, but at least their current efforts are failing miserably. And the vaccines that they want to give people aren't even for this version that's out there. So it's ridiculous. When I was in Finland, I heard of guys just talking in our group, talking about a pregnant woman who just received the vaccination, the anti-swine flu vaccine. And then 2 weeks later, her baby was dead, stillborn.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the only thing that could have caused it. So it's a real danger. For them to give that kind of an injection to a pregnant woman is criminal, in my opinion. Just absolutely obscene. And, but the gist of it is, yes, there are lots of natural things you can do. The selenium that I mentioned, 200 micrograms a day. The vitamin D at high doses, minimum 5,000 to maybe 10,000 units a day. If you think you've been exposed, even up it to 25,000 a day for at least a week or so. And if it's the natural vitamin D, there should be no risk unless you're a special case situation. But it's very safe. Lots of people have taken 50,000 units a day for an extended period of time, ranging from a few days to a few weeks. But definitely high dose vitamin D. Quercetin, the bioflavonoid, is also important. Adequate levels of vitamin C. All of this is to help activate your immune system, the innate immune system that everyone has, the macrophages, so they can attack and destroy the viruses, because this is the ammunition that goes to, and the food that goes to fuel the macrophages to help them deactivate
the virus.
The bad guys,
yeah,
the viruses and the like. So those are all important. There are also other things that could be done, echinacea, olive leaf extract, ionic silver, colloidal silver also will do it. And there's some sources for that. Resveratrol from red wine is especially good too. That's very antiviral and anti-cancer. So there are a range of things, but I would say of the main ones, vitamin D, quercetin, selenium, and vitamin C.
Excellent. Well, that's excellent. That's just what we need. We need the alternatives from the natural sources here in terms of that. And as you say, I guess as well, if we had an organic diet on top of this, that would be even better, right?
Yes, that does help because it reduces your toxin load. And it also increases your nutrient intake, so it sort of helps you coming and going. The main thing is if you can't eat everything organic, at least eat your dairy products organic if you are consuming dairy products, because that's where, in the fatty tissue, that's where the toxins tend to accumulate. And the typical dairy product has a lot of fat in it, unless you're eating skim milk or drinking skim milk or eating skim cheese products or the like. But typically, you want all the fat, so you want to buy organic, especially in the case of milk, cheese, eggs, that sort of thing, where fat's involved.
All right. Well, Scott, I think that's a good point to begin here to round things up on. I want to mention then again that Scott will be coming to Sweden. So all our listeners from Scandinavia, or if you even want to travel in from abroad, again, he'll be in Stockholm the 19th this month, followed by Örebro the 20th, and finally Göteborg the 22nd. And again, for more information about tickets, take a look at the website backtobeing.se. They will have both information in English and Swedish there for you. So with that, thank you so much, Scott, for coming on. Excellent
thank
work.
You,
and again, I mean, thank you for helping all of us, putting down this awful thing about the vitamin that you helped win this victory for us, so to speak. So it's incredibly important.
Thank
I want
you.
To thank you for that, Scott.
Well, thank you for saying that, and it's a pleasure, as always, to be on your program. Thank you so much.
Okay, we'll hope to see you in Gothenburg then, Scott.
Absolutely. I'll see you there.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
That's our program with Scott Tips. Thank you for listening. Help out in any way you can if you care about your freedom of choice when it comes to vitamins and mineral supplements. They are doing very important work over at the National Health Federation. Stay tuned to our website, redicecreations.com, for more radio, more news, more video and film material coming your way. My thanks to Fredrik and Elizabeth. Take good care, stay healthy, and we will talk more soon.